Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey, everybody. Welcome this week to the Vet Blast podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. We hope you're hanging in there. My guest this week is Dr. Jan Bellows, a board certified by the American Veterinary Dental College and American Board of Veterinary Practitioners. He's the current president of the Foundation for Veterinary Dentistry, and he practices veterinary dentistry at All Pets Dental in Western Florida. And you listeners out there, you need to get his new book called Small Animal Dental Equipment Materials and Techniques. And not as if that's not even enough to our listeners out there, he is also working on the second edition of Feline Dentistry, the only feline dentistry book that is out there. Welcome, Dr. Bellows.
Hey there. Great to be here.
Well, I'm honored to have you with us. So we're going to be chatting about something that is very common to the practitioners that are out there that are doing dentistries, and it's called tooth resorption. Right. Talk to us a little bit about canine and feline tooth resorption.
All right. First of all, it's now called tooth resorption. It's no longer called an FORL or a cervical line lesion or a neck lesion or a cap cavity. It's just tooth resorption, abbreviated as TR. And there are different ways to classify it. One is an anatomical way, which is great for books and great for articles. There are five stages. The first stage is microscopic. It starts at the cementum. You can barely see it. The second stage, it just invades the dentin. The third stage, it invades the dentin and pulp. Fourth stage, it destroys most of the tooth. And fifth stage, you just see a bump and there's just a small amount of tissue below it. But that's anatomical. More importantly is the radiographic types. There are three types. The first type, the tooth has a tooth resorption in it, but the root has the same opacity as adjacent teeth. The second type is there's a tooth resorption, but the root is being resorbed and has less of an opacity. And the third type is a little bit of both. It's one root is type one and one root's type two. The reason why that's important is that the first one, the one that has the root the same opacity as the adjacent roots, that one you have to take out in full. You have to do a flap, take out the entire tooth and the root, to be effective. The second one is called tooth resorption. And the bone is actually replacing the root itself. So it's bone replacement resorption. And if you give it enough time, there won't be any root left. But unfortunately, because it's exposed to the oral cavity, the tooth itself is painful. So the treatment of choice that is you do a little flap, you take your drill and you amputate the crown and a little bit of the root, and then you sew over the gingiva. And you give the body its time to take away the whole root. Wow. The third, type three, is because you have one of each, you can take out one root, and the other one that's ankylosed and is disappearing, you could do the crown reduction. So that's real important. The second major point is that half of all cats will have at least one tooth resorption, wow, which is major.
That's huge.
And half of the half. so you found a cat that has at least one tooth resorption. Yeah. Those will have more than one. And these are all peer-reviewed studies that have found that.
Why is that?
Why do cats have tooth resorption? We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. It's such a major, about 20 years ago now, when the Upjohn company was around, they treated all the veterinary dentists to go to Kalamazoo, and they put us in these really, really nice places because they wanted to pick our brains, and they wanted to know what was our number one problem that we wanted an answer for, figuring that they would figure it out. And it was tooth resorption. What causes tooth resorption? We know so many things that doesn't cause it, but we still don't know what causes it. And we're seeing so much more of it now in dogs. And the reason why is because we have much better dental x-ray machines. Before we had these blurograms and you could barely read them. And dogs, a good 20 to 30% of the dogs that we're seeing, the mature dogs, will have tooth resorption. And the key there, and especially in dogs, if the lesion does not extend into the oral cavity, it is not considered to be painful. And you could leave it alone. Watch it, because it is progressive, but you could leave it alone. If it's extended into the oral cavity, bacteria are coming in there, and you got to take them out.
Right. So for the cats that, I mean, my gosh, my years of practicing too, I see so many cats that need full mouth extractions when they have this horrific stomatitis and fossitis, and they end up, some of them developing, almost all of them have that resorption lesions. So right. It's just unbelievable.
And we don't call it fossitis anymore either.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. What do you call it?
Stomatitis of the caudal oral cavity. They found out that it's not the fauces that are inflamed. It's the back of the, it's actually the palatoglossal folds, but it's called caudal stomatitis. And that carries a worse prognosis than if it's not there. But a lot of cats have both. And you just have to take out those teeth that have tooth resorption. And if you have a stomatitis case, you have to take out everything.
Yeah.
And 60% of those will be cured without anything else if you take out every bit of dental hard tissue.
It never ceases to amaze me just about the pet parent testimonials. Not even like a week goes by and the cat parent's like, oh my gosh, my cat is incredibly back to normal so quick. It's just, you know, like overcoming that hurdle, like, yes, we have to take out the teeth, but they feel so much better after they have to come out.
And what really helps clients, because clients associate taking out their pet's teeth with their own teeth. And there's no way you're going to take out four of your client's teeth. But if you could show them the x-rays that the tooth is just eaten away, show them where the nerve normally is. Now you take a close-up picture, and while the cat's under anesthesia or dog, just email it to them, then they could see it. And I take a picture of the x-ray too, and we email that to them while the animal's still under anesthesia. So they are more, more on our side of the table.
Right.
They know we're doing right.
I guess it really does boil down to the power of dental radiography when you're looking at resorption.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without taking dental x-rays, the problem with coming out with the different types, the type 1, type 2, type 3, is that the fear was that veterinarians that wouldn't take dental x-rays would think everything is type 2 and do crown reductions and sew overs where it would be inappropriate. If you're not taking full mouth dental x-rays, do not do that, no matter what the tooth resorption looks like, because you can be leaving in a sequestra as compared to something that's going to disappear.
I was just going to say, share with us a little bit what would happen, down the road, two weeks, 4 weeks down the road with that cat that we've done that type of procedure with.
Well, probably nothing would happen. But what could happen is it could abscess. And, it's like taking out an upper fourth premolar and leaving roots in. It comes out swelling below the eye, and all veterinary dentists see this. And unfortunately, the veterinarian has put him on antibiotics or steroids, and it goes away, and then it comes right back until you take that root out, because the body identifies it as a foreign object and wants to get rid of it.
What are your thoughts on using or indications for using bone graft material or tissue transplant material for extraction sites with resorption?
Not to do it.
Okay.
The only place that we really use the freeze-dried cadaver bone, which is what we're using now more than anything else from VTS, is in palatal defects in dogs and dachshunds especially, go figure, where they have oral nasal fistulas, but not going right to the nose. Once it goes to the nose, it's game's over. You can take out the tooth, close up the fistula. But before that happens, you can actually make a flap, clean it out with a fine curette, and then pack it with the bone, and then the bone transplant material, and then put a, what they call a guided tissue over it, something called Osteoflex that they have. And the bone will generally come in. So, but general extraction sites, they don't need it at all.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to know. What are some recommendations that you could provide the general practitioner with respect to canine and feline resorptions? What are your best practices? What would you recommend?
Okay. Number one is expected. Number one is, this is not Addison's disease. This is not something, when I was in vet school, they said, if you practice long enough, you'll get your case of Addison's disease. And it took me about 3-4 years to finally get one case. This is something you should be seeing every day. If you're not seeing it every day, you know, link up with a veterinary dentist, go to CE, get a better dental x-ray machine, do whatever you need to do to find out why you're not seeing it. Number two, if it extends to the oral cavity, take them out. They are painful. And in cats, even under general anesthesia, the mouth chatters. So number three, if you find one, look for others. When veterinarians send me an image of a tooth saying, what do you think? I say, you know, do the full mouth, because there's probably some others there. And number four, make sure that the client keeps on coming back at least once a year, ideally every 6 months, but at least once a year to get full mouth x-rays, because there will be others.
Excellent pieces of advice. I'm telling you, that's excellent. Well, that's why you're the veterinary dentist.
all part of the fun.
Right.
You know.
So, Dr. Bellows, two questions. Where can we find your book, and where can we find more information about you?
Okay, my book, you can either order from Wiley or on Amazon. It's Small Animal Dental Equipment, Materials, and Techniques, second edition. And our website is allpetsdental.net. And if veterinarians want to email me, it's dentalvet@AOL. If you have one or two little x-rays you want to send for a quick no charge advice, feel free to email dentalvet@AOL. If you have a lot of x-rays, go through PetRays, and I'll be happy to write you a full report. And what else? Ah, yes. If you're caught in between and have some problems and animals on the table and it's bleeding excessively and you need help, give me a phone call. And my cell phone number is 954-465-4200. Always happy to help.
Dr. Bellows, excellent advice. Thank you for giving out all of that information for us too. This is what I love about this profession. I said it before, I'll say it again. I mean, we are in the best profession in the world, where we lean on each other in situations like this. So thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
And thank you to all the listeners out there for listening to the Vet Blast podcast. We will see you guys next week. Always stay safe out there. Take care of your fur babies and stay pawsome. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.